and welcome to the PropTech Hot Seat on iProperty Radio with myself, Carol Tallon, the show where we explore trends and technologies driving innovation across the built environment. The show is brought to you in partnership with PropTech Ireland, the hub for innovators, investors, and indeed for industry leaders. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Brian Coogan, Director of Ethos Digital, part of Ethos Engineering. Brian, you're very welcome. Thank you for joining me today.
Thanks for having us, Carol.
So, Brian, I was particularly keen to speak to you today in relation to a white paper that you've published. So the title of the paper is A Digital Driven Approach to as the Fastest Pathway to Achieving Net Zero Buildings. Talk to me a little bit about the motivation for preparing this white paper.
The driver behind this was what we can see, the industry is changing and there's new regulations coming in that is, you know, forcing property owners, developers to report upon the performance of buildings. And very clearly, it's no longer the stage where a badge such as BREEAM or LEED will do anymore. They want continuous performance data that proves the operational readiness of the building. With that also is that there's a higher demand from users. The spaces have to be more flexible, highly connected, and more appropriate to the work that is being done in each space. And then there's a new wellness factor coming into the building. Air quality is now becoming a major play within these spaces. And people are very much aware of that. And they're also, you know, looking for this information to be presented to them. So it's a multifold reason why we took on this type of research work. Again, being very digitally biased, which I have no qualms in not saying so. We took that look at it. And again, as part of the first Q network, we're a 15 strong company across Europe. We have quite a breadth of experience and exposure to the marketplace and what's happening and to these regulations and how the industry is reacting to them. Now, from that biased position, we genuinely believe that if you don't deploy digital within your asset, that trying to achieve these new enhanced requirements using the same resources, engineering resources that we have today, it just won't be possible. Can it be done? Yes, it can, but it's just so much effort and so much time that it becomes impractical. So the answer, one of the answers, one of the clean answers that we think is out there is digital. And be honest with you, I think the industry is one of the last to really be digitized, to really come on board. Now, there's a lot of advancement in there. There's a lot of prop tech. There's a lot of new engineering designs. So I think BIM is one of the biggest secrets in the industry. I don't think people outside the industry understand how really advanced that tool is. But in saying that, when it comes to the operation of the building, we just don't seem to be quite as advanced as other industries. So look, if we can get very clear and simple solutions that can be embedded or baked into the designs, I think we can really achieve some performances that are just not achievable today.
You know, Brian, you've touched on some really important things there, and it is about, you know, good, clear, simple technology that does exactly what it says on the tin. And quite frankly, that's not something that the prop tech sector has been very good at over the past number of years. You know, we definitely started off from a place of novelty, and it's interesting to see the key drivers to the technology that's coming along now. They tend to be along the ESG lines, and you know, that probably isn't a surprise. But in terms of a digital approach, we focused a lot over the last number of years about digitizing the process of buying, selling, leasing. But actually, for portfolio owners who own a lot of property of all ages, there probably isn't a huge amount of digital connection between those buildings. So let's start and maybe try understand the type of properties that you're looking at and maybe what's their baseline in terms of technology.
Yeah. Just looking at this, can I also just throw into the conversation now? There's a difference between a smart building and a smart workplace. Okay. Now, this is where people have the idea and the prop industry, and they have selfishly positioned to say, if you have an app, you have a smart building. If you have all AV, it's a smart building. It's not really. It's a smart workplace. It's not a smart building. To have a smart building, you have to have the building systems reacting, changing, adapting to the uses, the demands, are the events that you're holding. So when you're looking at a baseline building, what we have in there is you have your BMS, your lighting, your lifts, your meters. Now, just to reassure everyone, they're quite smart. Okay, they are quite smart. Some of these software is really, really good, and they do exactly what they have to do. But they do it, tend to do it in a silo. So the BMS works by itself, lighting by itself, and so forth. What the smart building does is it kind of orchestrates all of the operations on the one seamless relationship. So to get a smart building, it's a semantic in the building. It's understand what's going on, why certain things are happening, and how the building can adjust. So we are data-driven. Okay, so to understand this, we want the data from this, from these systems. So the first smartness of a smart building is a naming convention. As simple as that, it's the holy grail of all smart buildings. We want one naming system across the whole building. When someone asks me what I do for a living, I simply say, I turn buildings into smartphones. That's what I do. That's fundamentally, there's no reason why a building cannot operate on the one platform, on the one system. We build phones. It's incredible. They're incredibly advanced pieces of technology. I'll get lots of arguments to the, no, you can't because of X, Y, and Z. The software guys go nuts when I say that. But the reality is we can do it. Why we haven't done it is legacy, history. The OT side of the industry never really had to adapt to IT standards because they were always separated. But now with smart buildings, they're coming together. So now the operational side of the buildings are stepping up. They're bringing out these very advanced solutions that play very nicely in an ecosystem. So naming convention, get that right. Get the data structured right. Get the technology layer, which allows the data to come up and sit. So we call that an independent data layer. This is where all the data is extracted, structured, and sits in an independent data layer. The property owner owns that data. So there's the other side, to be very clear. The data ownership stays with the property owner. But once the building is in that situation, that's smart ready. Now, that's ideal. From a developer's point of view, that's exactly where they want to sit, because any tenant client coming along can simply bring their tools, their systems, and they can plug it into this independent data layer, and they can operate the building exactly how they want to do it, because the building is ready.
And Brian, you're introducing a lot of new terms, so I want to break these down. And actually, I'm even going to be very generous here, because you and I disagree on some core definitions, and I'm going to be gracious and let you have it. But give me your definition of a smart building.
Oh my God, smart. I've written many of them, and they change depending on the influences at that time. But fundamentally, a smart building has and operates independently, but for the benefit of all stakeholders. So it's not purely focused on purely efficiencies. It works for the users, it works for the management, it works for the security, but it does this in an autonomous way. Intelligent automations are built into the building, allowing it to understand internal, external influences and adapt accordingly to make the best use of the resources.
I'm going to let you have that one, but I would say that that's maybe a more sophisticated definition. And I think really going back to a more basic level, I would say that the definition of a smart building to me is something that's connected. So it doesn't necessarily have the level of intelligence and automation or particularly the ability to react to the systems, which is absolutely where we want to get to. But I would say the connectedness of a building is what makes it smart. But actually, and that's why I'm interested in your definition of smart ready, because I think that's interesting language. And I think that that's maybe something that is is possibly more accessible for portfolio owners who are looking across their portfolios. They know they have looming compliance issues to deal with, as well as best practice, as well as some of the social concerns and social value. And I think, you know, we will come on to your kind of delineation between a smart building and a smart workplace, because I do think that's very, you know, that is absolutely important. But in terms of the smart readiness, when we're looking at existing buildings, so maybe not built with the you know, the BMS system might be 20 years old. How do you consider that smart ready, or how do you get it to a state of smart readiness?
It's definitely not smart ready, okay? Because smart ready, again, you're talking to a software guy here, because I think every building out there is a software project. People think it's buildings and all. It is all that. I'm not dismissing that, but it runs on software. It operates on software. And through its lifetime, it is completely dependent upon the systems that run on software to deliver the environment and the efficiencies. So software is the key to it all. The key to software is data. So when you look at old buildings and so forth, what you used to have, you should have the BMS guys going in and they'd set that up and they'd program it and name it in their way. The lighting guy go over their way, the fire guy go over that way. So it's like putting German, Chinese, Italian all into a building. And you now want them all to speak together and have relationships, and they're using the different languages, different structures. So that is pretty difficult to correct. So that's the problem with the retrofit market. What's happening in the industry, we know ourselves, we're all going cloud. So your definition of smart is about connected, and that is the baseline. Everything has to be connected. But once you have the physical connections, once you have that infrastructure, which is fundamentally needed, after that, now you're on to the more data orientated, software orientated aspects. So when you're looking at this smart ready, the retrofit market, we need to get that aspect to the cloud. And that's where I was going with the last comment. I just struggled there to remember where I was going with that comment. But most of the applications we now deal with, especially from a portfolio point of view, are cloud-based. Okay. You buy one system and you apply across your whole buildings. The idea that you buy a system and put it into a building, those days are gone. If you want to understand the performance of your building, you can buy an analytical tool now, put it in the build. In the cloud and have all buildings feeding into it, and then do cross relationships between them, comparisons between them, efficiency driven initiatives between them. So the idea that you buy and you distribute these systems into the building, that approach is very costly, let's be honest. It's the intelligence needed, the centralization adds another cost layer to it. So the cloud is where these applications, these insights, these analytics need to be driven for. And if you look at the likes of AI and machine learning, the real big powerhouses, engines, they're all going to be cloud services. I cannot see companies developing these and bringing smaller local to the play market. And you know, so you'll have the big Googles, Microsofts, all of those players creating these incredible AI machine learning applications that buildings probably will take advantage of. So to take advantage of them, you need to get your data into that cloud. Okay. And that's what the retrofit market is all about. When the data is there, then we can see how it all operates. Now, this is going to bring insights, but people always thought like part of the paper we produced was this single stepping stone, this stepping up to get to to protect the value of your property is what we're all about. If you do nothing with a lot of your property, 80% of it at the moment is not meeting EU regulations. If you do nothing with that, the value of that asset is going to diminish. It's as simple as that. Now, and if you look at a recent case in London, one of the buildings sold for over 70% less than its last retail price. So there's people who are just getting rid of these assets now because they don't want to face this problem. So our paper was about recognizing there's a problem and you need to move through it. So we had a step like simple maintenance and audit, sorry, maintenance energy auditing as a first step. Then we looked at bringing in some IoT to get more data on the building. Then we would visualize and control. And those simple steps absolutely take your asset from absolutely nosediving of value back up to a kind of saving position or holding position where you're operating the building at a completely different level of performance because of the data you know. But it is still manually kind of interventions. But that's okay. That's if done right, that can be really, really empowering to the building and to the asset and to the environment and usage and so forth. Once you get there, then to really push on, there's a kind of build up a foundation, get the data right, apply the intelligence to it, and then bring it up to the cloud and off you go then. You know, that's now bringing that asset completely in a different level of performance. And in theory, and how we believe it to be, is that the value it will be related to that performance level.
So Brian, talk to me about the different offerings, because every week on through the PropTech Hot Seat, I get to speak to the founders and innovators of really interesting tech that that solves really interesting problems or that generates really interesting insights. The problem is no one of these does everything that a property owner or a portfolio owner needs, which means they need to play well together. So integrations is really the name of the game. And I know you were talking about this independent data layer, but where does that sit with all of the different technologies that different workplaces or different buildings that might be appropriate to different buildings? So whether it's in students and you want to track attendance on in universities where you want to track students based on seating, so you can identify, you know, early dropout rates or those likely to drop out, or whether it's as simple as wayfinding through a large building, or if you need to be able to guide people to find workplaces that are free in a co-working space at any particular time. Like, talk to me about all the different technologies that can feed in and how integrations work in best practice.
Now, again, wow, what a question, by the way. Really, do we have time for this? But I'll give it my best shot. It's again, it comes down to data. Now, data is not like every data. Like people go get all the data. Just it capturing all data can be expensive, and storing it can be very expensive. So we don't need all the data. We need the right level of data for the right purpose to achieve the outcome. So we kind of engineer everything. So we get the outcome. For example, curb to desk without touching anything. Okay. That's a requirement. That's an experience. It's not driven by a like kind of COVID driven that we don't want to touch anything. This is an experience. Are you going to into a meeting room and you want everything to react, a smart meeting room? So, but instead of it being present, so when I walk into a meeting room and a presence detector currently now in the light understands someone's there and turns on and might also activate the smart screen. We have occupancy. So occupancy is a different level of data. Not only do I now know there's someone in the room, but how many. Now, if I'm in a 20-person meeting room and four people are there, I can stand down a lot of the services in there because they're actually built for the whole room, not for the amount of people in it. So if I know there's only four in there, I can stand it down. Likewise, if I know there's 20, I bring it to its requirements to get the air changes and keep everyone fresh and productive in that space. So the level of data is now important, and the accuracy of data. I've seen software people, and we talk about the prop tech industry, and they're brilliant. They're brilliant. But there's some of them, I'm going to complain now a little bit. Some of them think software, I'm a software engineer, I know what I'm doing, just give me all the data and I'll figure it out. That's not quite right, because there's no domain knowledge with the data. So if you don't understand what the data is telling you or what it's relating to or how it's the story it's telling you, because by domain knowledge we know if it's upstream, downstream, sideways, if there's other variables that are influence this outcome. So what you're seeing, and it was just explained to me very, very well one day, I can correlate the sales of ice creams to drownings. Now, isn't that terrible? Sorry, but that's if you don't know that they're not connected, if you don't know that they're just dependent on many other aspects, the weather, the sun, the beach, bank holiday, you know, just know. But if you looked at that data you could correlate exactly that. And this is what's happening in some of the data and some of the outcomes that we're finding in the prop industry. They're finding results, they're presenting them as insights, but they have no relevance. So that's another aspect that we need to kind of correct. It's please don't stop the innovation, don't stop the technology, but remember, domain knowledge and software is really where we need to be.
I think that's a great point, and it really mirrors the journey that that we've seen prop tech come through. So in 2016, 2017, we had this, and 2018, you know, this huge swell of innovators coming in, but actually a lot of it was tech industry driven, and maybe people who'd had a frustrating experience, whether across the retail their residential or in a retail or workplace environment, where it's actually what we saw then was when that came together with domain knowledge. So people who'd been in the industry for a long time, so had a really deep understanding, not just of the problems, obviously that's important, but also of the processes and maybe barriers to innovation, why certain things haven't worked in the past. That's actually where we saw huge success. And in fact, a lot of the business failures that maybe rolled into M&A activity, they tended to bring together technology expertise and the attitude and the spirit of innovation, which we absolutely need, and that deep domain knowledge, to the point where domain knowledge should be used as an asset, not as a gatekeeper. And just because something hasn't worked in the past, it certainly we don't accept that it won't work in the future. But actually, it was when you brought those two together, it was really important. And I think from my perspective, a multidisciplinary approach is always the best way to get the best results, including defining the problem. And that brings us back to the white paper that you've done. You mentioned there at the top of the interview that Ethos Engineering is involved in FirstQ Network. So you might just explain very briefly what that is, because I think it's very relevant to the data that you were able to access, and so therefore the insights that we're able to share through this paper.
Absolutely. The FirstQ Network is made up of 15 companies, and these companies are based across Europe, and they're M&E, in principle, they're M&E, mechanical and electrical consulting engineers. But they also have sustainability sections to them and MEP sections. MEP, my apology, and digital sections to them. That's what I was forgetting myself there for a minute. So what it is that in each, it's amazing to see each country and each region within Europe, how they develop separately and the problems they experience and the level of systems they have and the, you know, problems differ. Some problems differ. In UK and I here, we are predominated by certain industries, certain manufacturers, certain products. But that's not the same in France, and that's not the same in Germany. They've got other manufacturers and so forth. So again, we're getting that breadth and that view on that knowledge sense. Again, a lot of the teams, a lot of people in these teams are global. They've worked globally like myself. They are not only bringing in their current experience, but they're bringing in the globally from the Americas, from the Australias, from the Asian regions. So we're getting to see what's happening down there, where the advancements are down there, and what's coming our way, and the problem we're trying to experience. But then we have our industry, how we procure, how we build, how we manage. Now, again, you think it's all similar, but there is a slightly different aspect in each region. And another part that you lean to there, you said there's the software and the domain knowledge. But to me, it's also the people who use it, okay? They have to come into the consideration. I've seen fantastic technology stepped down, removed, because the engineering team or the maintenance team or the operational team didn't know how to use it, or there was a transition of manpower through and they weren't trained and it wasn't getting done. So they've gone for a very simple standalone solution that matches how they work, how their rotation of staff go and the refresh of staff. So we're faced with a problem. Tech is complicated. There's no getting away. We are making it as simple as one can, but once you get into the kind of blending of solutions, it's complex. Blending of software, it's complex. The interface, we're making as simple as possible, but there's a bit of complexity. So as we get to more complex assets, we need to bring a whole industry with us, a whole industry that may be not used to dealing with these systems of this complexity before, and they need to transition to become more technologists, as well as brilliant people they are around the maintenance of the building, the coordination of the building, all those aspects to ensure that tech get applied correctly. It's software guys, really high-end domain knowledge guys, and the users. They all come together to make this work.
I think it's a great point, and probably a good one for us to finish on there about bringing the industry with you. Because again, in the tech conversation, whether it's across prop tech or construction technology, sometimes they could be a late addition to that. So actually, it's a really important part of it. So I suppose finally, just in terms of the white paper, do you think that that has a role to play in maybe raising awareness and helping to bridge the gap between those portfolio owners, maybe who feel like the gap is quite wide for them to be able to catch up in terms of compliance and other reporting? Where is the place for them to start?
I think it does. It was written for MIPIM, which is a property kind of event. We got tremendous feedback on it, and positive feedback, because it wasn't a big bang effect. It was, we know you have a problem, but here are steps. Here's a way we can work together to try safeguard the value of these assets. We bring them along. At any point, there's a spend, make sure you get the value. There's a spend, get the value. And at any point along this, a decision can be made to demolish, retrofit, or repurpose, or whatever. But again, they found our methodical, well-researched, very well understood step approach to be more aligned to how they want to spend, how they want to solve this problem. Because today they've got a massive problem on their hands. Something may happen in a year or two that eases that problem. They don't know what that is or what that can be. I don't think it's going to exist, but again, it's a frightening spend. So we're saying to them very simply, let's start with the basics. Let's get the basics right. Let's get the building operating. Let's get the energy auditing done. Let's get the basic rights. Let's get a few bit of more sensors in there. Let's get more information. Then we know we can control and visualize. Nice and simple. Let's get these steps. Then, when you're happy with that and the value has been attained, then the pressure will come on. If it's still there, then we can move it forward into the realm of software, the realm of data, the realm of the cloud. But first of all, let's bring your assets to a very secure operational level.
Yeah, I love that stepped approach, because I think that's exactly what the industry needs. And I think, in terms of where we talked about having that domain knowledge, sometimes that translates into actually speaking the language of your audience. And I think when we're looking across the built environment, the audience has to very much responds to the value proposition. So you talk about the spend that's required, and then you show them the value. And I think that's the only type of approach that works in this. So certainly it's one that I think you've got the right approach. So I would recommend to anybody take a look at that white paper. Again, it's a digital driven approach is the fastest pathway to achieving net zero buildings. Brian, where can people access that?
On our website, that would be both the Ethos website and the First Q website. And it's there just to simply download and read. And if you find it interesting and you'd like to action any of them, please reach out. We'll be delighted to talk to you all.
Super. Thank you so much. That was Brian Coogan, Director of Ethos Digital, part of Ethos Engineering. My thanks, as always, to producer Katie Tallon and to the production team at Hear Me Roar Media. Also, before we go, a special word of thanks to our sponsor, PropTech Ireland, for supporting the podcast and making these conversations possible. And finally, thank you indeed for tuning in. We'll catch you on the next episode of the PropTech Roundup. Please, in the meantime, please be sure to check out all of the other Irish and international real estate and construction shows on iPropertyRadio.com.